Want to hear more of Bishop Lambert? Now you can access recent sermons preached by Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. from your computer and mobile device. Just visit ericlambertministries.com. ericlambertministries.com is updated each week with the most recent sermons preached by Bishop Lambert right after our 7:30 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Sunday services. Purchase and download these uplifting messages so you can listen to the Word of God wherever you go. So visit ericlambertministries.com and add to your digital library today.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
When he ate that fruit, he did something that no one else had ever done. He tied God's hands. He tied them. Clicked it. God's hands were bound. Satan now looked over at God and said, the earth is mine now. No, I know, not by creation, but by philosophy, by action. And I'm able now to go where you told me I couldn't go because of a piece of fruit. I don't think it was an apple, because an apple a day keeps the devil away. I don't know what it was. I'd like to believe it was either broccoli or okra. I can't think you lose all of your blessing over an apple. Apples are too nice. It had to be asparagus and Brussels sprouts. I can't think every time I'm biting into an apple, I'm eating the thing that caused the fall. But when I'm served asparagus and broccoli, I reject it in the name of Jesus. It's the fuel of hell. God learned something. They had another meeting. The three of them got together after he ate the fruit. And the chairman of the board said, "What happened?" And Jesus said, "Darned if I know." And the Holy Spirit said, "I know what happened."
9-1-1-7.
You stuck him in there and gave him everything, and you knew what he was going to do, but you hoped he would change. You're in control, but it's a weird control. It's a permission within the control. I remember I used to ask my brother, "Can I have the keys to his car?" And he would give me the keys but tell me, "Don't take his car." I never asked for the car. I asked for the keys. So he would say, "Here, you can have the keys. Just don't take my car." We often ask God for blessings without him. And he says, "Here, you can have the blessings, but you don't have me." You don't need God for the blessings. The blessings come because you're connected, because you're his. Remember, he put the man in this beautiful place. The glory wasn't coming from the beautiful place. It was coming from the restriction. Don't eat the fruit of that tree. We've been fighting against that ever since. So the Holy Spirit said, "Look, we can't do this anymore. We can't do this anymore." Lucifer's over there laughing, and they're having parties and carrying on. And he's telling the third that went with him, "See, I told y'all God could be punked. I told you, look at him. Look at he can't even keep one man." And God said, "Well, that's because that dummy doesn't know we already have Jesus. Now, you're in the Father right now, but there's a throne for you that I didn't tell anybody who was sitting in it." Kind of like the old Southern parents, they would keep dishes that nobody would use. You have gold flatware, that's for company, but you never have company. You have soap in the bathroom. Don't use that soap. That's for guests. You never have guests use your bathroom. You don't let anybody up on the second floor. And so we looked at the miracles and the power of God that way, that it's for certain people. And then here comes Pentecostals. We think we're entitled to every supernatural move of God simply because we say, "In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. I don't have to put up with you, Satan. I bind you in Jesus' name. God's going to move that supervisor in Jesus' name. God's going to turn that hurricane out to sea in Jesus' name." And Jesus sitting up there saying, looking at God, saying, "I ain't got nothing to do with it. You send it wherever you will, because I know you're going to clean up the mess afterwards, because you're God and you have never left a situation without your imprint. And I don't know what you're doing half the time." Because it's like he said, "Of that day and hour knoweth no man, not even the Son, only the Father." When Jesus took on that fleshly body, he gave up some of that omniscience till he got back home. He knows when he's coming now. He just don't tell us. When he was here, he didn't know, because he was not subject to that knowledge, because he was still in a body. But now that he's home, he knows when he's coming. He'll be here. He's not on the way. Heaven's not that far. He's not on the way. When it's time, he'll just show up. And he comes with this trumpet. Yes, sir. But before he gets here, he's learned something. He learned that I can't bless you until I try you. Now, we have been kicking against the theological truth of that reality for the past 1,000 years. We don't want to be tried. We want to be blessed. We don't want to go through. We want everything to be given to us on an Edenic platter. We want to slip into paradise, get everything given to us with the magical phrase, in Jesus' name. And for so many years, it worked. For so many years, people would stand up and just, in the name of Jesus. Every time they heard bad news, in the name of Jesus. They get the bad weather report, in the name of Jesus. Get a bad doctor's report, in the name of Jesus. Like it's hocus pocus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And we think that that gets us into the inner sanctum of God where all the blessings and the miracles just flow. But when it doesn't work, then you get the really theological person who says, you just don't have any faith. You just really didn't believe God. That's why it didn't happen, because you don't believe God. You don't believe God, because if you believed God, then this would happen. And God said, no, no, you don't get it. You don't get it. I'm not just blessing anymore. I'm not passing out blessings like welfare checks. I'm not giving out those cards that you can get money off of. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not bringing my people into dependency, listen, upon a system. I don't want you depending upon what man says or what man does anymore. I'm shifting you back to paradise. I'm bringing you back to a position of honor, recognizing that everything around you I made, everything that's happening I allowed, everything that's going on I'm involved. But I don't need to tell you not to eat of the fruit of that tree. I don't need to tell you that. Because you know to separate yourself from anything and come out from among those things that are contrary to who and what you are. And you need to realize that you have to create an atmosphere of God intervention. Therefore, I refuse to allow you in my boat if your language is negative and doubtful, because I don't live there anymore. I live in paradise. While I'm in paradise, I am still subject to satanic infringement. I am still subjected to temptation and lies and spiritual darkness. However, I now put on the whole armor of God. My mind is shielded. My breastplate is shielded. My loins are comforted. My feet even have shoes on them. And this tells me that I'm in for a battle. And though I might have the Pentecostal cutes, it doesn't suit me in a battle. We are in warfare. We are in warfare. Satan is trying to kill me, but I refuse to back down. Satan is trying to stop me, but I refuse to be stopped. For Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. We don't want to be tested. We're lazy. We don't want to be tested. We don't want to go through. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to fight through anything. We love the ease of the Western culture life. We brought that into our theology. Praise the Lord. All you got to do is speak it, and it'll come to pass. What happens when you speak it and it doesn't? Our Bible is loaded with illustrations of great men of God who prayed, and Satan stopped the prayer, hindered the prayer, came against the person praying. God did not intervene. He does not intervene. For even the angel that came to Daniel said something that you need to go home and research. He comes to Daniel. He does not say that God helped him out. He said, from the day you set your heart to understand, God sent the answer. He said, Satan withstood me. Then Michael came to help me. Somebody said, why didn't God help him? God said, I sent my word. I don't need to do anything else when I send my word. When I send my word, Satan's going to try to hold that word back. But you keep on standing on what the word says. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to hold on to an emotion. Just stand on what God said. God said, my word will not come back to me empty. It is going to prosper in the thing that I sent it out to do. Let me get to my message. I ain't even at my message. I'm messing around with me. God doesn't make mistakes, but he learns from every mistake he makes. I know I'm going to rub some people the wrong way.
How dare you say God made a mistake?
You too Pharisaical. You don't see the humor in it. He don't make mistakes, but he learned from every mistake he made. From Adam on, everybody else was tested. Before he blessed them, he tested them. The degree of testing is directly connected to the amount of blessing. The more hell you went through, the greater the blessing was going to be. Y'all don't hear me. Abraham went through all types of tests. And to do what? To give birth to an entire nation. Joseph went through all kinds of hell to do what? Take a place as second in command in Egypt. And here you going through a headache and you want to give up. Then God can't trust you with big blessing if you can't take big testing. I call your attention to the removal of things that were. To the removal of what you've been comfortable in. I call your attention to the removal of what you've deified and over-theorized and made yourself scripturally impossible to live with. You have been holding on to old theories of our forefathers of the 50s and 60s, and you're looking for God to come in another way. But according to the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 43, in verse 1, it says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Oh, I love the Elizabethan English for certain passages. Thou art mine. Mine. You mine, baby. You mine. Do you understand the significance of belonging to God? You see, we don't like the term belong to because of the 400 years of institutional slavery that we and our ancestors have had to endure. The result of that institutional slavery has caused us here in the 21st century to think as the slaves of that century. We still think like losers. We still refer to ourselves in defeated positions. Even our spiritual connotations are negative as opposed to being godly. We actually believe we start at the bottom rather than starting at the top. We ask God to make us the head, but you've already been made the head the moment you came to Christ. We don't know how to function in the upper stratosphere of the blessings of God, and that's why we do things on the earth to help us get there. But according to the word of God, you're already there. You don't enter into his presence. You stand in his presence because, well, you say, well, David said, come before his presence with singing. Baby, David wasn't born again. David is in heaven. Because captivity has been led captive, and all the people that were in Abraham's bosom have gone up to heaven. So he marvels that you and I, who once were not a people, are in the presence of Almighty God and not fit to be there, but we're there because of the unifying power of the blood of Jesus. It is the blood that makes us capable, not our education, not our doctrine, not our dogma, not our religious position. It is the blood that makes us able to stand before God without fear of reprisal, without fear of being killed, even when we make a mistake. It is the blood that brings us back to get to the foot of the cross. It is the blood that cleanses us, that washes us. There is no sin that takes us that we cannot be forgiven. I have called you by name. You are mine. You are mine. You are mine. You are mine. When you pass through the water, I will be with thee. When you go through the rivers, higher water, say higher water. They shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, say persecution. You shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Let me help you fire walkers out. Stop talking about your fire. Just talk about your deliverance. We don't need to hear how the devil kept me up all night last night. He came into my room and he had a tuxedo on and he told me he came in here. I don't need to hear your description of the devil.
If you must talk about him, say, yeah, the devil came to me. He came to me walking, but he left running. Because the Bible says when the enemy comes one way, he'll flee seven. Lord, I wish I had somebody to help me. Talk about Jesus. Talk about what he has done. Talk about how he delivered you. I don't need to hear about the devil. I know he's a no good slew foot. I know he's a rotten, stinking animal. I know he's a liar. I know he's a tempter. I know he's all that bad stuff. But what is Jesus? He's the rock of my salvation. He's the joy of my new life in God. He's my power. He's my peace. He's my protector. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. He's Noah's ark. He's Aaron's rod. He's Moses' stick. Don't get me started. I don't want to hear about the devil. I want to hear about Jesus. I will be with you. For I, the Lord your God, I'm the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia, and Seba for thee. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honorable, and I have loved you. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for your life. Here it is again. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring your seed from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him. Here, glory to God. I have created him for my glory. Now, you got to go out there today after service and get this morning's message. In this morning's message, I talked about the simplicity, yet the dynamic of you being saved and called by God for God. You see, I'm convinced that part of our problem is we don't know why we've been saved. We think we've been saved to escape hell. No, escaping hell is a byproduct. I was saved to fellowship with God. But I ain't preaching that message again. Get the CD. And listen to it. And next week when you come in, this is how I'm going to know you listen. You're going to have a swagger in your walk. Not an arrogant one, but one that said, devil, you can't. It's like I walk differently at 26 and Cumberland than I did at 21st and Susquehanna. Because 26 and Cumberland was those other boys' territory. But when I got into my neighborhood, I had a swagger. Because that was my neighborhood. See, wasn't nobody going to jack me in my neighborhood. And we're walking around afraid of the devil when we ought to have a swagger. We ought to let the devil know, excuse me, devil, where I come in, the Lord is there. Because he promised he would be with me. Now go with me, because we're going to get to my text. I know you people at home are watching the live stream. You enjoy it because this ride going to be over. I'm not going to look over there. I'm not going to look over there because I'm going to get a look from my media director. I'll probably get an email. Pastor, you shouldn't threaten to close the live stream. There are people who need it. And she's so nice. I can't tell her off. If she had gone and pled for Jesus, he wouldn't have been crucified. She would have said, Pilate, don't do that to Jesus. Pilate would have said, Gracie, take him. Take him home. Just take him with you. So I ain't looking over there. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Listen to this. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. God is saying, since I'm reminding you that I'm with you, all that you're going through should not remove what you see and what you hear. So bring me the blind people that have eyes. In other words, people who see but can't see. Bring me the people that are deaf and have ears, the people who can hear but don't hear. Come on, go with me now. This is going to warm up real soon. Listen to this. Let all nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them, the nations, can declare this? Listen, and show us former things. Listen, let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified. or let them hear of the dynamic of God and say it's true. In other words, how many of you make your testimony on past experiences and you haven't had a new one in years? When we call for testimony, I want to thank God that in 1972, there are people in here saying, I wasn't even born in 1972. Like me, I sit there and I say, I wasn't even born in 1972. Here it is, 2017, going into 2018, 4 months away from 2018, and your last testimony is 1972. And it ain't even that big. God held the train while I ran down the steps at Broad and Omni. I said, Lord, hold that train. You know I got to go to work. And child, glory. He held that train. And when I got on that train, glory to God, the conductor said, I don't know why we waited. And you go, yes, praise him. He held the train. God ain't holding trains no more. He's going to do a real miracle. Watch this. Wait, hold on. See, you shouting now. You don't even know what I'm going to say. He's going to do a real miracle. He's going to make you be on time. You don't know. Let me go on. I gotta go home today. And listen to this, verse 10. You are my witnesses. You are the real Jehovah's Witness. You are Jehovah's Witnesses. How many Jehovah's Witnesses I got? And let me tell you something. There's not 144,000 going to heaven. There's only 20. And I get to say who goes. So you best be nice to me. We are the Jehovah's Witnesses. He says, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me. Listen to this, and understand that I am. Before me there was no God formed. This is a weird verse. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be one after me. Well, then why are you saying it? Why do you even allude to the possibility that there's an AG after God? Why do you even allude to it? Because he's tearing down idols. Let me go on. I don't want to. I feel it. He says, I have declared and I have saved and I have shown when there was no strange God among you, little g. Therefore, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. I spoke when all your other gods didn't speak anymore. When you were in a quandary as to what to do about the situation, I bailed you out. Why did I do it? I'm God, and you're my people. Woo! In other words, you have a testimony of what I've done for you. How many of you glad you got a testimony? I live to bust your bubble. I live to bust your bubbles. Listen to this. He said, yes, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. Isn't that something? Why is he saying all this? I made man and gave him a big blessed place, but he blew it because I didn't have him.
I made him and put him there, but he wasn't connected to me because he was born by me, not of me. He was not a partaker of a divine nature. He lacked the ability to resist. See, he could have said no, but he didn't have the internal ability to discern good from evil. All he had was a command not to eat that tree. God said, thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I sent to Babylon. Listen to this. For your sake, I have gone to Babylon, sent. Now, he's always doing it, but he'll use this term, and he makes it appear like I sent angelic representation to bring down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in their ship. They have such a tremendous navy. I brought them all down. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. It seems that God is saying, please, don't forget what I've done for you. Past tense verbs, I have brought, I did this. And we are not to lose the effectiveness of what he has done. It is what propels us into stability. Amen. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord, which makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. He's still telling them to remember what he's done. Let me read this to you in a different translation. But now the Lord who created you, O Israel, says, don't be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up, and the flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, your Savior, the Holy One of Israel. I gave Egypt and Ethiopia and Seba to exchange in exchange for your freedom. I gave them as your ransom. Others died that you may live. I traded their lives for yours because you are so precious to me and honored, and I love you. Don't be afraid, for I'm with you. I will gather you from east and west, from north and south. I will bring my sons and daughters back to Israel from the furthest corners of the earth. All who claim me as their God will come, for I have made them for my glory. I created them. Bring them back to me, blind as they are, deaf when I call, although they will see and they will hear. Gather the nations together. Which of all the idols have ever foretold such things? Glory to God. Who's ever spoken like this about God? He said, which can predict, which idol can predict a single day ahead? You think the meteorologists are giving you the exact path of Irma. This morning they said it shifted. I want to tell you something. God is the God of the shift. And I'm not talking about some hurricane. I'm talking about doctor's diagnosis. I'm talking about bankers' rules and regulations. I'm talking about the threats that come from a secular world. God is the God of the shift. Listen to this. Which one of them can predict a single day? Where are the witnesses of anything they said? If there are no witnesses, watch this. If there are no witnesses, then they must confess that only God can do this. Whew. If there are no witnesses, it didn't happen. Even in law enforcement, you can convict by circumstantial evidence, but it's got to be a lot of it.
Your goal is to get beyond a reasonable doubt. And the only way to get to beyond a reasonable doubt, which is 95% ruling, you must have a witness. It's called a collaborating witness. You need somebody to say it happened. Brothers and sisters, Hebrews chapter 11 is your beyond a reasonable doubt. Whatever you're going through, you can find a witness in Hebrews 11. Even those of you that are infertile, wives who want babies, you go to Hebrews 11, you tap into Sarah. Sarah will let you know God's got an egg that you don't know about. There's a witness for the power of God. Come on, church. You know there's somebody who has been where you are. And when they testify about how God brought them out, watch this, you have hope. But I need to know if there's a group of people, listen carefully, who want to move beyond hope. I'm not trying to be deep. I'm trying to be as plain as I can. See, when you look at what God has done, that gives you hope, not faith. Listen to me. Come go with me. Come on, come on, walk with me. Walk with me. I need you to be Baptist today. You say, because he did that over there in 1957, he gonna do it here in 2017. And God's not doing it. Because all of heaven has shifted their MO. They ain't operating like that no more. First of all, God's not putting people in blessed places without trying them. That Adam way of doing things is over. So stop asking for what you can't suffer through. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I feel God calling me to ministry. Oh, really? Yes. Hallelujah. Okay. So you want my anointing. See, it started with James and John. They walked up and said, hey, we're related. We second cousins on my mother's side. Your mother and my mother were cousins, so we second cousins. So I'm going to ask you, cousin, if me and my brother can sit one on your right and on your left. Now, one writer says, Mama went up and asked. She said, now, look, me and your mother are cousins, so you got to take my boys when you get in your kingdom. And put one on the right and one on the left. Jesus said, can they be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? Can they drink of the cup that I must drink of? They said, yeah, because they were Pentecostal. They said, yeah. He said, you will. But I still can't give you what you want. Because only my Father can place you after he has tried you. You think Bishop Lambert can put you behind this desk so you can preach to people? It's the Holy Ghost that takes you through Hell's Kitchen to give you an anointing to set captives free. You can't set nobody free until you've been free yourself. Watch this. Let me read on. I'm almost done. We got service tonight. Let me read on. Listen to this. Whew. Verse 11, I am the Lord, and there is no other Savior. Whenever you have thrown away your idols, I have shown you my power. When you stop putting people on pedestals, you can see me move. Some of you sitting out there right now talking about, I'm broke, I don't have no money. I'm going to go to so-and-so and ask them for money. And you're going to go over and ask them, watch this, for what they can afford. Instead of going to God, who's got all these blank checks. God won't ask for it back. You won't have to duck him. You won't have to stay out of church. You don't have to worry about interest and penalties. You don't have to worry about nothing. You go to God and say, I'm your child. And no father sits and watches their child go through hunger. Bread of heaven, feed me. You keep creating these idols. He said, but every time you put an idol down, he said, I show you my power. I love that, Pastor. Every time you have stripped an idol of its power, you leave a vacuum for God to step in. Oh, I wish somebody could go with me. In Acts chapter 7, it tells us that Moses was born to deliver Israel. It also tells us that he must have known that he was born to deliver Israel, because when he saw the Egyptian beating on the Hebrew person, he decided to step in and start that process. But you can move in your strength or in God's strength. He moved in his strength and wound up being thrown out of Egypt. God won't let you move in your strength. In the same book of Acts, it says a group of people, of the men of God, the room was loaded with prophets. It was loaded with special spiritual people. And the Holy Ghost spoke and said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas, watch, for the work that I have sent them out to do. And then it says that the elders and the rulers sent Paul and Barnabas after the Holy Ghost sent them. That means you can't be sent unless it's validated by authority. God did not say, I'm sending Paul and Barnabas. He said, you send them. Separate them. I'm anointing them. But in leadership, you must recognize the anointing and send them. You can't go on your own. You must be sent by you must be enabled by God, sent by authority to have the right results. You're gone out to minister and you don't have any results. You have not been sent. You got up and went. Just go with me. Just go with me. Yeah. Ding dong, the witch is dead. Witch, oh witch, the wicked witch. Watch this. He says, from eternity to eternity, I am God and no one can oppose what I do. No one. The Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, said, for your sakes, I will send an invading army against Babylon that will walk in almost unscathed. And the boast of the Babylonians will turn to cries of fear. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a path right through the sea. Isn't that great? You know you want to dance when you talk about the opening of the Red Sea. You know something stirs up in you every time you look at the Ten Commandments and they open that thing up. Woo! And that was before all these computer-generated images. Old Cecil B. DeMille had vision. Opened it up and they walked across, and the waters were mountains beside them, and they walked across. Got to the other side. Moses told them to hurry up. They took their own Pentecostal time. Pharaoh and his army were coming in after him. Moses, in the movie, was on the rock, because Joshua said, get up there so the people can see you and have hope. And he stood up there and raised his little hands. And the people looked back and saw the chariots coming. They ran then. They were booking across that water. And then Moses says, who can withstand the power of God? And closed his hands, and the water just came over. And that's when all the Pentecostals, even in a secular movie, they go, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You feel something stand up in you. But every one of us has a personal Red Sea experience where God snatches you right out of the path of the enemy and then uses the weaponry that they've designed for you to kill them and bring them down. Ah, my God, my God, my God. Watch this. He said, I called forth the mighty. Let me read on. He said, I opened a way through the waters and making a path right through the sea. Listen, I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses to lie beneath the waves, dead. Their lives snuffed out like candlesticks. What a powerful God we serve. And every one of us has testimony. I don't care how minuscule it is. Everybody in here has a testimony. And many of you are waiting to take your testimony to heaven. Paul, come here.
Yes, how are you? Did you live by faith?
Let me tell you what God did for me.
Yes, tell me how by faith you lived and were victorious.
My car got jacked. And the Lord got me a new car, Paul.
What's that got to do with anything? That's not faith. That's called insurance. Let me go talk to somebody else. You, right there. Did my doctrine of justification by faith enable you to withstand the fiery darts of the wicked?
Paul, let me tell you, I was diagnosed with diabetes, and I got healed.
You did? How?
I was taking metformin and glucophage, and then they moved me to a light insulin. And my A1C went down to 5.8. Glory to God.
You took medicine.
Let me talk to somebody else.
Are there any Presbyterians in heaven?
All these Pentecostal people. And every one of us in here, we look for what God has done, and we live for what he has done. Uh-oh. Listen to this. I'm going to skip a few verses and come back. Go down to verse 21. I have made Israel for myself, and these my people will someday honor me before the world. Listen, but watch this. Verse 22. But, oh, my people, you won't ask for my help because you've grown tired of me. That means you take me for granted. Because you just want me to maintain the status quo. God, I just want you to wake me up in the morning. Watch this. God, give me a job. In all my years of ministry and pastoring, I prayed for literally thousands of people who have asked for jobs. But very few who have asked for businesses. Because you don't think God could give you one. You ask for what you believe.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
9217P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and broadcast television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.